The resurrection is understudied, underpreached, underbelieved. Think about that. If we really studied the resurrection more, understood it more, we would see a lot more miracles and breakthroughs in our own lives. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 300 references to the resurrection. Everyone say 300. That is a lot. Every sermon in the book of Acts centers around the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Every sermon in the book of Acts centers around the bodily resurrection of Jesus. That's why it was so important. I wonder how often you and I talk about the bodily resurrection of Jesus. When we preach, how often do we preach on it? Because the apostles were preaching on it all the time, because that was our hope, was the fact that Jesus didn't die. See, Jesus is not behind us in a tomb. He's not behind us on a cross. No, he is before us at the right hand of God, exalted to the highest place, now King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler of the universe. But not only that, he's the ruler of your life, if you let him. Can I just remind some of you once again, he can do a better job of running your life than you can. So why don't you let him? Get your hands off the steering wheel and hand them over to Jesus and watch what he will do. Too often, we're running our own lives, and that's why we make a mess of things. The resurrection. I want to share with you today 7 wonders of the resurrection. One of them is going to be for you. Specifically, it's going to impact you deeply. One of them. Maybe 2 of them. You can't take away much more than that. 1 or 2, okay? Think about which one is it going to be. So we start with the wonderful stone. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away. The authorities did everything to make sure that no one could take the body of Jesus, because then they'd claim he was resurrected and they didn't want that to happen. And so they set, Pilate had a seal on the stone, and then they had guards guarding the tomb so no one could take Jesus' body. They say that a watch was 4 soldiers and they changed every 4 hours. So some would say there were 16 soldiers guarding the tomb to make sure that no one took away the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so concerned that someone would do that and that would destroy what they wanted to see not happen. The first resurrection wonder is this, that the stone was rolled away, meaning that any stone that the enemy puts in front of you, any struggle, any giant, any mountain, any issue, any problem, that he puts in front of you, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can roll the stone away, can remove the stone that you thought would never go. He can roll it away. So great, so strong is the power of God to remove the resurrection. We all face these obstacles in our lives. So Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is actually living in you and living in me. So I'm here to say to you this Easter Sunday, never stop believing for your breakthrough. Never stop believing for your miracle. Pray again. Strike again. Push again. Believe again. Exercise faith again. Because the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This may be your day. Today may be your morning when your mountain comes down. Now, I know some people listen to me and say, oh, I've heard that all before. Who told me before my mountain's going to come down? You never know the day. You never know the moment. We don't have to set it up, friends. It's not when you're sort of in some specific place. It can happen anytime, anywhere, any place. God suddenly comes. Suddenly comes. You know, my story is up in India. Hated the place, didn't want to be there, wanted to get out of there. Take me home, Lord. I preached, it was useless. And then one morning, suddenly, God appeared. And I had visitations of the Lord. What I'm trying to say is this, you never know your moment. You never know your moment. Tell the person next to you, you never know your moment. Someone's going to have a moment. Somebody is going to have a moment in this service. I hope not one. I hope hundreds will have a moment in this service that can change your life forever. How many of you have ever had a moment that's changed your life? Give me a wave. Well, why not another one? Why not another one today? I've had them, lots of them. Change your life in a moment. That's the resurrection power of God. He can come in, turn your life upside down. Well, actually turn it the right way up. Because sometimes it is upside down, is it? The first wonder of the resurrection is the wonderful stone. So the second wonderful thing is a wonderful grave. A wonderful grave. What can be wonderful about a grave? Verse 3, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The grave was wonderful because no one was in it. Aren't you grateful? No one was in the grave. They went looking for Jesus. They couldn't find him. You know, for many people, Easter is empty. All it's about for them is Easter eggs and a holiday. I hope nobody here is thinking that way. Anybody thinking that way here? Raise your hand, come to the altar, we'll pray for you. No. That's all some people think. You know, Easter eggs and a holiday. Look, I'm telling you, the only thing empty about Easter is an empty tomb. Jesus risen from the dead. That's what's empty about Easter. The greatest moment properly in the history of the world when Jesus rose from the dead. See, for 3 days, God was silent. 3 days. And then with cataclysmic power, the resurrection power of God entered the body of Jesus. His heart began to beat. His blood began to flow, and Jesus stood to his feet. Well, I don't know how he did it, but he exited the tomb to now forever be at the right hand of the Father as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Death could not hold him down. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. People dying on a cross was nothing new. But never before in the history of mankind, thousands of years, had they found an empty tomb. This is a message of Easter. Jesus is risen from the dead. At this moment, Job's question was answered once and for all. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, indeed. We will live again. Jesus conquered death and the grave. So all of us as Christians will die, go into the grave, but we will rise again. We will rise again and be forever with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. When this corruptible, that's your body, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? D.L. Moody, great preacher, was invited to speak at a funeral. So he searched the four Gospels for one of Jesus' sermons, one of his funeral sermons, and he couldn't find any because he broke up every funeral he attended, because death could not exist when Jesus was around. He would raise them from the dead. There are no funeral sermons by Jesus. The world says life is swallowed up in death. The Bible teaches death is swallowed up in life. Listen to me for a few moments, please. Most people believe, and even many Christians sadly believe, that life is swallowed up in death. And so they just want to live, and say, oh no, I've got to face death. No, the Christian understanding is death is swallowed up in life, because it's after you die that you actually begin to live. You've got to get through this hell on earth for 70, 80, 90 years, whatever God gives you, if God willing, you got to get through this, and then you die, and then the real you, your spirit, comes alive. You live forever in heaven with Jesus for millions and billions of years. No sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no depression, no mental health, no abuse, no drugs, and no illness, nothing, friends. Why would we want to just focus on this moment, the shadow, this whisper, this breath, and it's over? We give everything to this because we think that death, life is swallowed up in death. So we spend all our time making this life work. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants to bless you. But when you have an understanding of true Christianity, you think, let's get through this. Let's get through this moment. If it's not fantastic, it doesn't matter that much. I feel for you, but it doesn't matter that much because you've got billions and trillions of years of peace and joy and victory and overcoming and celebration and a life that is pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. So maybe a moment, maybe your moment's not been the greatest. Don't worry about it. You've got billions of years of wonderful peace and joy and life forevermore. So, Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your, most Christians, a lot of Christians don't really quite get what I've just talked about, but we're slowly getting it. We're slowly getting it. That it's not about this moment. It's about eternity. That's why Easter is so powerful. So, Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We're just strangers passing through. Just do an audit. How much are you focused on a daily basis on here and now? How much? How much do you think, oh, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I need to do this, and need to... And how much of it is your mind focusing on heaven, eternity, the things above, and storing up treasure for the next life? The more we understand that, friends, the greater freedom we'll have in this life. We'll be able to walk in freedom because the truth sets you free. When your focus is all this life, it's going to be pretty miserable because this life is just too hard. Let's get our eyes on the next life. Here's a statement for you that you may want to think about. If you don't have a good theology of death, you won't have a good theology of life. So if you don't understand what this is actually all about, life, death is the entry into heaven, then it's going to make life difficult for you. So you need a good theology of death so you have a good theology of life. Let's go to number three. All right, the third wonderful message is a wonderful message. Verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. This is the third wonder of the resurrection. After the cross, Jesus, we know, descended into hell. He entered into combat with Satan, his devil, and his demons. And there was a spiritual earthquake in the dark regions of the damned as Jesus took on Satan. He took on demons. He took on the powers of darkness. He defeated the whole lot of them. He left them paralyzed, and he rose from the grave victorious and triumphant. The enemy was defeated. He went down to the enemy's camp, and he took back what had been stolen. He rose from the dead. He defeated Satan. He defeated the enemy, and that resurrection power that defeated Satan then is also living in you. So you also can defeat the enemy and overcome him. So we read in Colossians chapter 2, 15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Corinthians 2, verse 14, thanks be to God who always, tell the person next to you, always, leads us in triumphal procession. Why? Because of the resurrection power of God. Amen. There's a group of young guys went to this revival meeting. They were mocking. People were worshiping and people getting saved, and they just mocked and mocked. By the end of the service, a whole bunch of young guys were on the altar weeping, giving their lives to Jesus. What happened? Well, one of the guys had been in a car accident and his leg was bent out of shape. And in that meeting, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ began to work. And that mocking young man's leg was completely healed by the power of God. And his whole team ran to the front weeping, giving their lives to Jesus Christ. That's the resurrection power of God. You don't have to earn your healing, quite frankly. Now position yourself, do the best you can. But God's love reaches out even to a mocking young person and brings them, gives them healing and salvation. Number four is a wonderful prophecy. Now I like this one. Verse 6, remember how he spoke to you. The resurrection was a fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies that spoke about this event. They spelled out every these prophecies in the Old Testament spelled out every detail of Jesus' suffering and death, many centuries ahead of it. Let me give you just one. The Psalms prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. In Psalm 22, verse 16, dogs have surrounded me, a band of evil men have encircled me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Do you know that was written 1,000 years before it actually happened? And 800 years before this style of execution was actually used. Wonderful prophecy. God's prophecies are fulfilled. So what has God spoken to you? Prophecy you know was from God. Not every prophecy is, let's be honest, but some are. The ones you know are from God, where someone said something to you, but you have also had God speak to you as well. And usually it needs to be confirmed a few times to be sure that it actually was God. But what has he spoken to you? Wonderful prophecy. God can fulfill and wants to fulfill every word that he's spoken into your life. I've got, are they prophecies? Maybe I've got prophecies in the, from this book that are 30 years old. 30 years old, wonderful prophecies. And I know that I know that I know that I know that these prophecies will be fulfilled because I know the God I serve is faithful to his word, faithful to his promises, faithful to what he says. I don't have a doubt. I don't have an ounce of doubt in my mind that what God has spoken to this young man here, young man here, that what he has said will be fulfilled. God is faithful to his promises. You can trust him. Don't ever let the devil say, no, no, no. It's not going to happen. Let me give you Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Number five, a wonderful reversal. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. One moment, it seems all is lost. The Savior, Jesus, the one they had so much hope in, he's hanging on a cross, dead and then in a tomb. And it seems like all is lost. And maybe you're here today and you think that way about your life. You're thinking it's all over. Your hopes are dashed. Your dreams are gone. And it seems like the enemy, in a sense, has won the day. But then we know with Jesus, it was a wonderful reversal. He didn't stay on a cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He wasn't defeated after all. The resurrection power of God turned the whole thing around, and Jesus rose from the grave to be seated at the right hand of God. It was a wonderful, wonderful reversal, and God can do a reversal for you as well. You know, in cities like ours, you have these recycling stations where they take all the garbage, recycle it into useful fuel. I'm here to tell you today, God can take all the garbage of your life. Every negative thing that has happened, every trouble that you have had, every criticism, every bullying, every abuse, every negative situation, all the garbage in your life. You can think from the day you were born to today, God can take all that garbage and he can turn it around and he can do something amazing, something fantastic. Just keep trusting him, keep loving him, keep serving him, and God can do the impossible. He is the master of reversal. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good. He works all things together for good. Let me tell you about a Baptist pastor. And he visited a family living in an area where oil had been discovered. And many were becoming wealthy overnight. And so he drives up to this family and he notices there's no oil being drilled on his land. All around him, there is. Husband and wife open the door, dejected. They said, Pastor, God has forgotten us. God has overlooked us. Engineers told us that everyone was going to be rich with oil. He said, both sides of our property, front and behind, see, they've all found oil. They're all rich. They're all moving to the city. And we are left alone. Ever feel overlooked? Ever feel forgotten? Ever feel that people around you are blessed? They've got this, they've got that, the other thing. But you haven't? That's how they felt. A few years later, Dr. Criswell would ran into the family. And the father was smiling from ear to ear. And he thought, wow, God finally came through and they found oil. Well, actually, they never found any oil. The father said all his neighbors moved to the city, brought flash houses, flash cars. Kids went to the best schools. They're living it up. Then one by one, the marriages started to fall apart. The kids began to rebel. And they didn't know of one that was still regular in church. Then they said, God did us a big favor by not putting oil on our land. We're still together. We love each other like never before. We thank him every day for what he did for us in not putting oil on our land. All things work together for good. That give, that love God. Come on, give God a praise in the house. I just love that story because so often we can't see it. We can't see how the reversal is going to come. Well, you can't see it because you're not God. Did you get that? He knows how to do it. Don't try and work it out. He knows how to do it. Just leave it with him. Get your hands off the steering wheel. Leave it with him. He is a master of reversal. Okay, almost done. Almost done. Wonderful companion. Number 6, verse 15. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So after the resurrection, Jesus walks alongside the disciples. Do you know, for all of us as believers, Jesus walks alongside us every day as our wonderful companion. You say, really? Yeah, really. Matthew 28, verse 20. Surely I'm with you always. Can you just say always?
Always.
Always. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus walks with us as our companion through everything. Through the good times and the bad times. Through the mountains and the valleys. He said, when you're behaving good and when you're behaving bad like some of you do, he's still your companion. When you do well and when you mess up, he's still your companion. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he can be with all of us at the same time, every moment of every day. When you're struggling, just lean into him. He is there. He's with you right now, by the way. He's with you right now. Right now. Sometimes we don't think that. Sometimes we think we're alone. We're never alone. He's always with us. Finally, as I wrap it up, wonderful conversation. Verse 17. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have? Not only is he our companion, but he wants to have wonderful conversation with us. Jesus calls himself and calls us his friends. You're a friend of God if you're saved. I'm a friend of God. One thing I've noticed about a good friend is good friends talk to each other. Is that right? Yeah. They do not ignore each other. Never. You know, they talk to each other. Talk for a long time sometimes. Especially if they're getting married soon. They talk a lot. After they're married, don't talk so much. But anyway, let it go, let it go. You all know Christy Lee and Aaron are getting married this Friday. The Lord bless them. No, it's all right. It's all right. No, friends, all right? Friends talk. Jesus talks to you. Talk back. The more you talk to him, the more he'll talk to you. Learn to talk to him. You can do it right now. You can say, oh, Lord, thank you so much for bringing me to church today. This is the best message I've ever heard. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you, you're my wonderful companion. Thank you that you speak to me. Lord, thank you, you can roll stones. You can be talking to him right now. The more you learn to do that, the more you'll have wonderful conversation with Jesus. As the musicians, singers would come. Seven wonders of the resurrection. Wonderful stone, rolled away. Roll your stone away. Wonderful grave, he's not here, he's risen. Wonderful message, wonderful prophecy, his words will be fulfilled. Wonderful reversal, don't you love that one? He can turn it for good. Wonderful companion, never leaves us nor forsakes us. Wonderful conversation. What an amazing God we serve. Amen.